What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Hang on to your hats, you devil dogs, because the master bebop blaster of all time is going to give you a soul injection.
You're listening to We Are Better Than You with Dutch and Royce.
Welcome to Dutch and Royce, everyone. It's fucking a debacle from the beginning. Jesus Christ. Right when everything I think is going to work and it just breaks apart.
Don't worry. I got you, buddy.
Well, I know. But it was working 3 seconds before I called.
If you hold out your hand, I would catch you, friend.
My name is Joel, very frustrated Dutch Van Wingerden. I'm here with Royce Lopez.
What up?
Marie Lopez.
I got you, boo.
My savior. Super producer Mitch Heil.
Hello.
Sherry Dalai Lama.
Me.
And Johnny Cake Sinzeri.
May the second be with you.
Our number is 954-573-2780 if you'd like to get in touch with the show. Or if you're listening to the podcast and want to check us out live, we're on YouTube. We're on Facebook Live. We're on Ustream. We're on Mogulus. We're on everything.
Mogulus? That's not even a thing anymore.
It's like, remember them?
Well, 12 years ago. Yes, I do remember them. And now that I believe that they're a live stream and nobody cares about them anymore.
I will remember you.
See, I would pull that song up on my computer. So
yeah, no, we know. We could tell.
I am I hate when this happens.
Having some tech issues there, buddy?
That's my thing is I tested everything before I went on to make sure I had it clean, and it just decided that the second I hit play, just didn't want to go. Just it's sitting there frozen on me right now.
My music player is froze on me too, buddy.
Have you tried rebooting the computer? That usually works for me.
I'm going to start swinging in a second.
You could swing
if you want.
Have
you tried tilting your head back?
Anyways.
No. Let's talk more about why your computer wasn't working. I really want to get down to the nitty gritty details.
You are on full on cunt mode tonight, I can tell.
I mean, maybe you're just projecting on yourself on me, and I'm actually the one that's fine, and you're the one that's angry because your computer failed.
Yeah.
See, he agrees.
Maybe you should
folks.
Show up late instead of on time.
Me? I didn't do anything.
All right, guys. Let's not get into a battle of he said, she said, or who didn't start the intro right.
It's all about the he said, she said.
I don't like Marie's undeserved smugness because she came through with the intro. Like, fuck you. Seriously.
Don't go chasing waterfalls.
But anyway, how you doing?
What did you guys do this weekend?
Us?
Anyone?
First things first. Let's start with some good news, bad news, good news. Oreo sandwich.
No.
Ice cream sandwich?
We talked about it last week, and we should probably talk about it. First thing in the show is...
I was going to do first thing. Second thing.
Okay, sure.
Good news is Oscar's doing well from his surgery.
Yay!
Let's
start out good. We're hoping for the best for you, Oscar. Hope you get that cone of shame off your head soon.
I think it came off today.
Who hasn't been following, Oscar is... our producer, Dennis's dog.
Yes. Oscar had a surgery. He's doing great. Very happy for him. Now for the bad news. Royce, go ahead.
Oh, thanks. I love how she said she's all excited. Like, oh, you do the good news. And Royce, you deliver the devastating news. I just want to make sure. She did a typical political thing.
Do you want me to do it?
No, I don't mind doing it. But we talked a little bit about it last week, but Rorschach passed away today. From Rorschach and Doc, he passed away of liver failure. So, I mean, you know, if anyone wants to reach out to Doc, and he's probably going through a lot, and it just sucks, you know, it really does.
Right. Really sucks.
Yeah.
Doc and Holly, because Rorschach did a show with Halls as well as Doc.
Right. So.
Yeah, it all happened kind of sudden. He, you know, within the week, he was in the ICU and...
Right, and then he was just kind of gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, because was he in the ICU the entire time since we last spoke about it?
Yeah. From what I understood, yeah.
Yeah.
That sucks.
I know.
No,
some,
it really does.
I know some friends were there for him in the end. I'm pretty sure Halls was able to visit him. I'm not sure who else was able to visit him, but...
Was he able to communicate?
Yeah, I think he was
up. He was still talking and stuff, but yeah.
He was taking phone calls from what I heard.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Shit.
Rest in peace, buddy. I'm taking an extra
drink
horrible.
For you.
Yeah. Yeah. That really sucks.
I mean, they had a very funny and entertaining show, and just that sucks.
It really does.
So from everybody from the More Like Radio family, just, I mean, I don't have prayers, but my thoughts go out to his family. That just, dude, I don't handle death well.
No, neither do
I. I didn't know him that well, but I just, you know what I mean? Like, I empathize with people who are going through that shit because I've gone through it.
Yeah.
And so it's just, especially for like his friends or even, because when you told me that earlier, Royce, before we went on there, you told me that Rorschach died. And I just immediately thought, like, what would happen if someone told me that one of my co-hosts died?
Right.
Like, I can only imagine what Doc's going through right now, and I feel horrible for him.
Yeah. No, it sucks big time. But
no, yeah, I mean it's pretty brutal, you know.
I don't really have anything else to say except he was an awesome guy and I wish his friends and family well through, you know, what they're getting through. But if we do have anything to add before we move on?
No,
because John also said he had good news about saving a life. So I wanted to hear John's weekend story first.
Yeah, John.
To kind of uplift us.
So what happened, John?
So I went to an amateur wrestling event this weekend. I've been doing those a lot lately to kind of prepare for whatever role the wrestling thing we're supposed to be doing.
You've been amateur wrestling?
No. I've been watching. I got friends that do like commentary and our valet for a couple tag teams, and so I've been watching those. So it was this Saturday, and it was wasn't even one of the, like the main card fights. It was like one of like the openers to get people like warmed up, and I'd say like halfway through it, there is this one wrestler. All of a sudden, like he hit the ropes to try to clothesline a guy, and he just kind of just collapsed, but like, not like one of those things like where outside interference, like he just like just keeled over.
Ugh.
and everyone was just watching as if it was like a normal fight, and they asked does anybody do anything, and they basically just like pinned the other guy while this other guy was lying down. And
was he passed out?
I was like, he was unresponsive completely. And the first thing I do, I'm like looking around, and then like, you know, everyone's like throwing up the X finally because like they realize something's going right going down.
For people that don't know, when the referees throw up the X, that means it's not part of the show and the wrestler's really hurt.
Yeah, so I'm looking around and it doesn't look like anybody's kind of like helping him or whatever. I mean, like there's like one ref that's in there and another guy, and then like one of the guys that was in the match was like asking if anybody like knew CPR or anything like that. And I immediately like rushed over to the back of like where everyone was sitting, and there was one of those portable defibrillators, and they started doing chest compressions on him, but it didn't look like they knew what they were doing. And then like one of the other guys like started doing like real CPR on him, and I handed him, I was getting ready to go into the ring with like the defibrillator, and they didn't know how to work it, so I kind of like went in the ring and started up the defibrillator.
Wait, there was just one that happened to be there, and you were the only one who knew how to work it? Well, like, why was there one there in the first place?
It was in a gymnasium, and most gymnasiums in Broward County, they have a portable defibrillator. Most sporting events have them on site, kind of like a fire extinguisher. So I opened
it
up.
Do they normally have like professionals on site usually with those things too?
Was that it didn't seem like it seemed like one of those, because like a lot of this the security that was there, like they were just there like there was somebody like cleaning up garbage while this is going on. They didn't have like on site paramedics or anything. It was because they were using the facilities. So
the indie matches normally don't, though. They're just in a gymnasium and shit, and they're not gonna have paramedics for that shit.
Okay.
And what didn't help was that the guy was running it had like a flip phone, and he couldn't get through the building. So I called the paramedics. I'm like, hey, look, there's an incident here at Broward College, you gotta, you know, like, send EMS here, like, stat. And then, like, within, like, 5 minutes, you can actually hear, like, the paramedics coming in and everything. And then they hit him once with the panels, and he was awake for, like, half a second. He threw up, and then he went back into it. Like, I've never seen someone that close to death. Like, he was blue. He was blue. He was, like, getting all rigor mortis. And then the paramedics came.
I don't think rigor mortis sets in that fast, Joe, John.
Yeah. Yeah, it takes longer than that, I'm pretty sure.
But he was blue and unresponsive and...
Well, he would, yeah, because he was, like, out for a while. And then paramedics came, they took him, and then I guess his tag team partner and another guy went with him, and I just, like, sat down. And they're like, and I guess he started, like they got a pulse on him, but he was in and out, and it was one of the... and then when they got him to ICU... They had to put him in, like, a medically induced coma. So he's been in a coma since Saturday. And apparently he did not disclose his medical. Apparently this was, like, a medical condition that he's had.
Well, it doesn't matter if we disclose or not, but the point is you went out there and you saved his life. Good for you, man. That's awesome.
Well, I kind of, like, I don't think I saved his life, but I got the ball rolling.
Nope, it was all you. No one else helped. Is he going to donate a thank you gift basket to your family?
If he's an indie wrestler at a college, I doubt he has the money to donate anything.
I think a nice thank you would be in order.
And then I didn't even know his name. I just knew, like, his wrestling name. He was Delicious Richard. Delicious. I don't know. He looked like how Mersh always talks of, you know, like how he was trying to develop Jobber. He looked like the part of Mersh's character.
All right, cool. Well, I'm glad you were able to help him out, man. That's good.
Yeah, so don't know if he pulled through or what. He's still in a coma, so yeah.
All right, then. Cool. I thought it was an uplifting story. Uplifting.
That's what I was going to say. Maybe let's pop some more fucking terrifying things at the beginning of the show. I'm glad people that tune. No, I got to tune into my fun show to laugh about things. I just got fucking 13 minutes of brutality.
Jeez.
Jesus Christ.
Well,
in a positive note, I'm still dating Serena, the hottest girl I've ever dated
life. I'm sure she appreciates you bringing her up right after that horrific story. I'm sure that she's
that'll
very happy
bring us
about
out
that.
Of it.
Yep.
Well, Roy's not had a good weekend, though. No sadness. Just laughter and fun. And fun and laughter.
What'd you do?
We went to Fort Myers, Florida.
What'd you do?
To go to Fort Rock, which is a rock concert festival, you know, small.
Yeah, is the festival actually in a fort, or they just call it that?
No, it was on a lawn, outdoors.
That's so misleading.
But it was a 2-day festival, and it was all 90s/2000 rock music, like stuff that we grew up listening to, like high school, college era. Like there was Seether and Papa Roach and The Offspring and
Smash Mouth.
No, so it was like White Trash Walk, but without the strip club.
No Smash Mouth, though we did sing Smash Mouth to fill some time in between other songs. So thank you for asking, Mitch. And then the headliners were Def Leppard, which is really fun to watch the one-armed drummer, and A Perfect Circle and Soundgarden.
Oh, wow. What a set.
Yeah, it was pretty fantastic. But the weekend, all in all, was good. Like, we went down with... there were 7 of us, and we all just, like, bought a giant suite, and we're crashing in one room together. And
by the way, that sharing a hotel room thing,
it's for the birds.
It's a really good idea when you're 20, in your 20s. When you're in your 30s, it's not a good idea anymore. Because, and don't get me wrong, as a matter of fact, that's not even true, because out of the 7 people we were with, 6 of them were fine. But the problem is all it takes when you're in close quarters is have one person that isn't fine, and I'm sure everyone knows what I'm talking about. Have you ever been, like, on a trip with someone and there's a one person that no matter how cool everybody is, they ruin it for everybody?
Sherry.
Well, no. Right.
You know what our friend did?
Well, hold on. Let's slow down.
Okay. How slow do we need to go?
Well, we went to By the way, I love that Mitch doesn't help by doing production and looking things up as a producer. He just on to mock me. Well, I tell stories.
I found this article about the wrestling sad guy that is in the hospital, and I found
good.
A picture of Smash
Mouth. Let's go back to the most boring story about saving someone's life in America. That's wonderful. Let's do that.
What were you trying to look up? Hmm? What were you trying to look up?
No, I was just saying we went down to We went down to Fort Rock, and like I said, it was 2 days, and we shared the hotel room, whatever. But going back into that, we're going down, and it's one of those things where out of the seven people, six people are coupled off, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like two. Six people are
three couples.
Three couples. So six people are coupled off. And then there's one person.
Is it like a reality show?
Yes, it's a reality show. Go on. Oh, that's it? Okay. So there's there's three different couples. There's six people. And there's one person who doesn't there. And I'm not going to go who they are. I'm not going to go into names. I'm not going to get into specifics. But I will say this. We were dreading this person coming for a while because it's the kind of person who is, and I'm sure everyone can relate to this, is totally cool. Like, not totally cool, but manageable when they're sober. But once they reach a certain level of drunk, like, they just become unbearable.
Mm.
Like, okay, for example, Dutch, like, you know, when you're drinking with friends, right, for the most part, you know, I look at it like a graph, right? Like, you're hanging out with friends, you're drinking, and, you know, you're getting drunk, and, you know, the bar graph is going up, right?
Right.
Graph of fun?
Right. And at some point in the evening, everyone's usually on the same length, and everyone kind of winds down at the same time. You know what I mean? Like, oh, we've had our fun. Hey, let's just chill and watch TV, or let's sit down and talk, you know? Like, hey, we're done being crazy, and everyone. The problem is, everybody was on that same wavelength except this one person.
Who kept going forward.
Let's go rob a fucking bank.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Kept going up.
It kept going up while everyone's, like, kind of going down. So here's what happened. The very first night we go there.
We arrive a night early. We arrive on Friday. The show doesn't start until Saturday. We wanted to check into our hotel, get situated, and just be prepared for the next day.
Right.
So we just wanted to go out to dinner, come back, chill out at the hotel.
Correct.
And we had all bought alcohol ahead of time because we wanted to save money instead of buying drinks at the bar just to, you know, we had a full suite. We were just going to bring our stuff and throw it in the refrigerator. So we're drinking. And at one point, we just said, hey, well, we're just going to lie down and enjoy our night. And this one guy said, no, I'm not ready to go to sleep yet. I want to go out and party.
Let's make it easier. Let's call this guy Todd. All right, let's just use that name. So Todd, that's not his real name. But so then Todd, we all go to bed. We're all going to go lay down. So we were driving all day, and then some people had work that day, and it had hit midnight on Friday. And we figure we're going to be in the sun all day, like Marie was saying. So let's all just rest. And by the way, we're not being pussies here. We're not like, hey, let's go to sleep at 10. Like, we went to bed like at fucking 12:30 at night. You know. Because we figured we're going to be in the sun all day tomorrow. You know, the concert's going to be late, so we want to relax. So everybody, all six of us on the same wavelength, except for Todd. Now, understand something about Todd. Todd is normally home most of the time. And Todd is older than us but still lives with his parents. So one of Todd's parents doesn't drink. So when Todd gets to party with his friends,
He goes
balls to the wall. Like, he just tries to get all his drinking in one time.
Todd is the guy pushing shots on people.
Correct. Like, you know when it's 4 a.m. and you're tired, Dutch, and someone's like, come on, do one more shot. And you're like, bro, stop. I'm fucking tired, you know?
I don't want any tequila.
Like, in your 20s, that guy's fun. But in your 30s, when you're still that guy, you're the annoying guy.
So,
yeah, he's the one who's telling me I'm a pussy for not taking a shot because I like to drink my hard alcohol with like ice cubes.
Yes,
exactly, an adult.
Precisely.
But do you know Todd?
Exactly. Let me tell you something. I have a lot of friends who drink a lot. I do. However, all of my friends that I hang out with drink a lot. I could stand them when they're most hammered and they're most sober because alcohol doesn't really change their personality. It might enhance a little bit, but the same. But there's some people that just, it doesn't work with them. They just become annoying.
For the Todds of the world, they're the ones that are about to get arrested later.
So then here's what happened. At 12:30,
are those the ones that play lacrosse?
No. So then at 12:30, we decide we're all going to go to bed. So, you know, there was two beds, a pull-out sofa, and Marie and I brought an inflatable queen-size mattress. So we fill out the mattress, and then there's
fancy.
The thing. Right. So then he goes at 12:30. He goes, oh, I don't want to go to sleep. I found this bar that I could walk to. I'm going to walk to this bar. And I go, okay, man, that's fine. We all say, hey, bro, have fun. Dude, have fun at the bar. No
yeah,
problem. And
please,
all we say is,
go.
When you come in at nighttime, just, you know, don't trip over and don't be too loud because we're going to be sleeping. Okay? So we all go. We watch a little bit TV. We all fall asleep. Now, I'm talking about we are out cold, all of us. And it's a good hotel sleep. And Dutch, you go to a hotel sleep, so you know what I'm talking about. When the AC is perfectly cold, but you have the exact blanket coverage, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. you have perfect
Ooh,
hotel
that's
sleep.
A good ratio.
Peaceful, yeah. content, you're on vacation. Oh, I can sleep in tomorrow.
Yeah.
Pleasant dreams until 2 in the morning.
So 2 in the morning, I start hearing rustling. Marie pops her head up.
I look up.
And she's looking
trying
around.
To understand what's going on.
Because here's
oh,
what happens.
Todd's back.
Todd's back. But you know when you first wake up and you I'm hearing voices. But
Am
I'm,
I dreaming?
But I'm trying to do math when I'm hearing voices because I'm like, you know, you start accounting for everyone that's in the room and you're like, there's an extra person here. Something's wrong. There's a voice. I don't know who it is. Todd decided while he was at the bar at 2 a.m. because the bar closed at 2 a.m. in Florida. He decided, no, bro, let's keep drinking to this other dude, some
that
random guy at the bar. By the way, Todd is straight, so it wasn't a gay thing or anything.
Very straight man, this
let's,
Todd.
Hey, man, just come up to the room and come and drink, bro. We have Patron.
So he just likes making friends.
Yeah. We have Patron and we have
Wait,
this.
What time was this?
2:30 in the morning.
Jesus.
So you had already established that we're going to bed,
at
go
midnight.
Out and have fun, just don't be loud when you get back.
Correct.
He decides, yep. I'm going to bring my new bestest buddy back to the hotel.
Oh, no, so it gets better.
We wake up to Todd fumbling into the room
so
at
all
2
you
in the
hear,
morning.
So all you hear, Dutch, is, and especially in a hotel room after it's been quiet and you're kind of used to the hum of the AC. So then all you hear is from like dead silent to in the kitchen.
Something like that.
Oh, yeah, bro. It's cool if you use the bathroom. It's no big fucking deal.
Don't worry. Everyone's chill. Everyone's chill as shit. Come on, have a drink with me.
So then we freak out because we don't know who the stranger's in the room and the other someone else who we're with. Well, we
right.
didn't say her name.
We is. Didn't know who this person was.
Well, by the way.
So we went from zero to where's my purse?
We start panicking. And the girls, by the way, the first thing you think is we don't know who this is.
Yeah.
So all the girls get out of their beds. By the way, from a dead sleep. So can you imagine they're fucking want to lose their minds. And all you see them is grabbing iPods and purses and hiding them at 2:30 in the morning because there's a stranger in the room.
A
drunk stranger that he picked up at a bar. By the way, a Fort Myers bar, which is fucking, come on.
Right.
So oof.
I got
it's
a
rough.
I got a look at the dude.
Fort Myers.
He was a skinny yeah. white guy with a very long scruffy beard. He did not look like he was on the up and up. And
regardless, I don't care if you're on the up and up. I don't fucking care what you do with your life. I could give a flying fuck.
Eventually, we said, shut up and get out of here. And he walked out of the room, and one of our friends gave the other friend a talking to.
Well,
as he
so
left.
Yeah, so then he, so you know, my buddy who's been friends with him longest walks outside, fucking livid, and just gives him an earful. And he's, you know, this whole thing. But now let me tell you what makes it worse for me, anyway, me personally. So the next day we get up, and nobody says anything. Nobody mentions the incident. Oh, by the way, no, we're not done yet. I forgot to mention this. So then at 2:30, and then at about 3 a.m., all the rustling's over. The other guy leaves because he realizes he's an idiot. And Todd comes back to the room, and he pulls out his couch, and he's about to go to sleep. Problem is, we're finally fall back asleep at 3:30 in the morning after the whole commotion because,
you
remember,
might have. I was still living. I wasn't sleeping.
Everybody's adrenaline was pumping because, yeah. you know, you went from sleeping to, oh, my God, what's happening? And so then we finally start calming down. Maybe not everyone's falling asleep.
And
then
comes
then
back.
All we hear is violent vomiting in the bathroom.
He starts throwing up.
Now, mind you, instead of going downstairs to the lobby bathroom so he doesn't wake everybody up in the room.
Nope.
He starts. Of course, you've been in a hotel room. So, I mean, if you vomit in the bathroom, you can hear it through the whole floor. So
it's like an echo chamber.
Yeah. So he's vomiting. And not only is he vomiting, he's narrating his puke. Oh, that's disgusting.
Oh my God.
And then he goes back to his bed where he proceeds to make a lot of dad noises.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where he's like,
God. I actually and everybody heard, was up for this.
I actually heard him. I heard him chugging water to try to alleviate him.
But I heard it too. And he's chugging water, but after he chugged it, you hear the gulp of it coming back. And
I heard every sound from the tipping of a water bottle and going gung to the heavy breathing afterwards where he's so full.
I felt like I was in a fucking an old Foley room in the old movies, how they used to have those rooms that make all the noises. Like, then he's just started using a thunder thing, like, I'm like, what's happening? I just want to sleep.
Finally, he goes to sleep and passes out in a drunken stupor by snoring the rest of the night.
He's so drunk that he starts snoring fucking like, dude, it was fucking horrendous. So anyway,
and then
in the morning, everybody in the room wakes up fucking livid.
We had set our alarm to not miss continental breakfast, which, by the way, we did not miss, and it was wonderful.
It was actually pretty good, yeah. So anyway, we go downstairs at 9 o'clock, and we're sitting down at continental breakfast, and the six of us, Todd is still upstairs.
Passed out.
We are looking at that. I mean, all of us are in a bad mood because we're fucking livid. We didn't get the right amount of sleep. We're fucking all pissed off.
I'm sorry, real quick.
Sure.
Okay, so how big was this hotel room again? Because I'm just imagining all of you guys are crammed.
It was a suite. So it had two full size beds, a sofa that was a pull out sofa, and then also an air mattress. It was actually pretty big for a hotel room. It wasn't that small.
And then there was a kitchen area.
There's a little kitchen area.
It wasn't like a separate, like two separate rooms.
No. It was all one room. Think of an extended stay. Like, you know those extended stay places? Think of that.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right. So anyway, so like the kitchen is right next to the bed. Like, you could hear everything. So anyway.
My next question is, did you guys contemplate at all either making him that, or making him get a room, or you two getting up and getting your own room?
First off, it wouldn't have been that easy for us to get up and get a room for a couple of reasons. The prices were rocketed up because there was a music fest.
Oh, good point.
So normally in Fort Myers, that room would have been cheap. I mean, I would have easily dropped it. But in this scenario, it would have been like, I'm not going to pay $350 for a room that's only worth $90.
Right, okay, that makes sense.
Because you know what I mean? They ratchet it up. So trust me, we thought of it. But anyway. Right.
And honestly, we talked it out. It didn't happen again the next two nights. It was just the first night.
The next day, he comes downstairs. Like I said, the six of us are talking, eating breakfast, and we're all pissed off. He comes downstairs and just starts talking and acting normal, like everything's cool, you know? Hasn't apologized, hasn't said anything. He's just like, so anyway. And everybody's ignoring him. Like, everyone's just like, uh-huh, yeah. Like, doing the uh-huh, not looking at him and just talking. So we go upstairs. And we're all getting ready to go back downstairs, hang out at the pool before we go to the festival. Todd walks upstairs. And now here's the annoying part about Todd. Listen, people get drunk. People do dumb things. The problem is, what Marie didn't tell you is when Todd walked in and he was drunk, Marie got up and looked at him. And what did Todd say to you?
Oh, something.
Don't give me that look. I'm going to do what I want.
Start with me.
Yeah, I'm going to do what I want.
And I hadn't even said anything.
Went the night before.
The night before. I forgot to mention that. So in the morning.
I was only giving him the what the fuck look, but I hadn't said anything. And he just goes, don't start with me.
So then.
Royce, did you feel the need to interject?
No, here's the problem. Here's the problem. That's before I had woken up. Remember, Marie got up first.
The girls saw it.
The girls woke up before the guys did. It's a little longer for me to wake up because I have that CPAP machine and it's kind of loud in my ears. So I don't, you know, usually Marie is a little more sensitive to sounds like that. But anyway, so I didn't interject because I didn't know. But so the next morning, I didn't find out till the next day. So then we're upstairs and after he finished any breakfast, he keeps trying to talk. And then somebody, I don't know who, says something about, Rodney, what the fuck why did you fucking do that last night? And instead of going.
Todd.
Oh, Todd. Sorry.
Whatever. I was going to say, who's this guy?
Toddney. At the same time. Sorry.
I love when this happens when we try to have.
You know what?
It happens to us every time we tell an extended story.
Let me tell you something. You know what?
Happens to me all
the time. No. You know what? He ruined my night. Fuck him. Don't bleep it. So anyway.
Okay. I was going to say, do you want me to take it out?
Nah,
I can.
Leave it. Todd, I didn't say your last name anyway. So anyway, Todd he walks upstairs and he's just, you know, starts getting mad at us. Well, let me explain his reason. For not being on his level, we should have all kept drinking and partying because he wanted to. And
How did he explain this?
He blacked out.
He says
that is kind of selfish of you for not wanting to party with him.
Yeah. No, no, no. Before he blacked out, before he admitted to any of that, he was defending himself, like hardcore.
He was defending himself because he didn't remember what he did.
He was like, bro, I just made it, was a little loud. And he goes, if you guys would have done it, it wouldn't have been a problem. I go, first off, if we would have done it, no one would have been sleeping in the room because it would have been all six of us. So it wouldn't have been a problem. And secondly, we, you know, we want to be able to party. And it was just this thing where, you know, so I finally go, Todd, seriously, dude, what the fuck is your problem? You come in here, and then I find out you're talking shit to Marie. You're an asshole to everybody. You bring a stranger in the room, and you don't even have the fucking – and you don't even fuck him, I said. So you brought a guy up here and not even have sex with him just to fucking annoy us? I go, this is why people don't like you around. This is why. When you're sitting there asking people, why don't people like me around? This is why people don't like you around. Because we're sitting here with our wives and with our girlfriends, and you're walking in with a stranger from a bar because you wanted to drink more. Because you couldn't decide, hey, it's 2 a.m., I've had enough. Let me go to sleep and keep drinking tomorrow. Instead, I'm going to ruin it. And the next day, when we go to use the bathroom, there's vomit all around the bottom of it because he can't even aim. So, yeah, we were all kind of fucking
pissed. You said that straight to his face?
Yes. Did I not?
I think that deserves a nice slow clap. Well, this is actually kind of a fast clap.
So then he
did.
Fast slow clap.
And so then I wasn't the same dude that comes over that went over to your house when you had like a party or whatever.
No,
and
he was just like no.
You don't know Todd.
You've
wrestle
never met
guy,
Todd.
Yeah.
No one knows Todd.
You never met Todd. So So he says that, and then he finally he goes, oh, I didn't realize I said all those things. Hey, man.
Wait, hold on. So is that how he responded right after your rant on him?
Yes. It was one of those things where somebody said something, he denied it. Somebody said something, he denied it, until he realized, oh, I don't remember most of the night. Oh, I must have blacked out. And then it turned into, did I really do all that?
And the problem is that Todd has been is the older brother of somebody in the group. And everybody has known Todd.
Okay.
Hold on. And everybody has known Todd since high school, except for Marie and I, because we just moved up here a few years ago. So the problem is, like, they kept – the first one, I started screaming. So a couple of them walked up. He goes, hey, calm down. Calm down. He's good. And I go, no, I'm not going to fucking calm down. I go, I don't know Todd. I don't fucking care about him. I go, this is my vacation too. He just can't bring somebody up here and violently projectile vomit all night and expect me to be, it's cool, bro. You know, so then, but after that, I let it go. But the thing is, Dutch, I was still angry because I had lost sleep. So every time you remember that you're sleepy, you remember why you're sleepy. So you get angry again. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So later on, he had mentioned, she thought it was already time to joke about it. So he had made some comment like, well, yeah, you know, I guess if I bring somebody, you're going to get mad. And he goes, and I go, yeah, Rodney, we probably will get mad. Now, why don't you, I don't fucking care. Why don't you go in the bathroom and leave us alone? And then he goes, you know, I don't get it. I go, yeah, you also don't get respect either because of the way you act, you idiot. And then I was told, stop poking the bear. I go, no, I'm the bear. Tell him to stop.
I'm the bear.
That's exactly what I said. I go, I'm the bear. Tell him not to poke me because I'm fucking sick and tired. Because problem is that I don't really care what kind of relationship he's had with other people. The issue is he's a fucking dick. And he wasn't nice. And the problem is not liked. And he sometimes listens to the show. I hope he's listening to the show. You are a dick. If you're listening, you were a grade A dick. You were not likable. People keep talking bad about you because of the things you do and how annoying you are.
Was it uncomfortable the rest of the weekend?
It was kind of, but then the next day he realized what a dick he was and he didn't drink at all. Like at all. At zero. You know?
Oh, wow.
So then he went from zero to no drinking.
By day three, the joke started back up.
Obviously, yes.
And, you know, going through that, I was quite livid at the time, but now 3 days in,
I'm still livid. Marie's apparently think it's funny. I am still angry.
I just
did. You guys all take the same car?
Different cars. But here's why I find it funny: is that I tried to put myself in Todd's shoes and think there was only two outcomes to bringing a strange man up to a hotel room.
Yes, exactly. Go ahead.
He was either trying to fuck this person, or this person was trying to fuck him.
Exactly. I kept thinking this scenario over and over in my head, and I can't think of any scenario where a random strange man would say, want to go to my hotel room, and sex wasn't implied. Am I correct?
I was thinking that, too. Like, I've traveled a lot. And I've, you know, I hit up conversations with anybody at a bar just because I like to talk to people. And I've never once invited anyone back to my room for any circumstance.
Precisely.
Yeah, even especially if it was a hotel room. You got a perfectly good parking lot.
Let alone invite someone up for more drinks was the excuse. Well,
was the guy a complete stranger? Was like an old friend from middle school?
Complete stranger. One man meets another man at a bar from 12 to 2, become best buddies to the point where the person comes up back to the room. Then he discovers a room full of six people asleep when he walks in.
Now, I want to be fair to the other guy. The other guy kind of seems shocked. Because I believe that it was sold to him differently. I don't think that Todd mentioned that there was people, or Todd probably mentioned there was people in the room, but they were awake or something. And when he walked in and he saw people sleeping, he was like, oh shit, I'm leaving, you know? And
yeah, I was going to say, somebody either was planning on getting fucked that out of the two of them, or he just thought maybe, okay, this is a continuation of the party because they closed the bar down.
That's something else I told him. And I go, and if you want to come up here and bring a strange dude to fuck, get your own room.
Right. So that's what I thought was either we prevented Todd from getting raped that night in the butt, or we just witnessed him trying to come out of the closet. It was one of the two.
But my point is, it's like, would I do it again? No, probably not, because I don't have – my problem is that we're all in our 30s now, man. I don't have time for these stupid antics. Like, if I pay money to go to a concert, and I know I'm going to be up. Like, yeah, I do have to fucking go to sleep by at least midnight Friday. I'm fucking sorry I'm an old man, but I cannot no longer stay up till 2 a.m. on Friday and be up at 9 a.m. You know what I mean?
Especially on the first day. Like, yeah. You have a long – You're trying to stretch your party now.
Exactly. It's one of those, like, you want to be able to drink
marathon.
All day.
Exactly. It's not a sprint.
You want to be able to drink all day and not pass out. You want to be able to, like, slowly, you know, hey, I'm going to drink some water now. I'm going to keep going. You know, my point is, I'm not, again, people that listen to this show religiously, and for people that don't listen back, but I have done some fucking outlandish and crazy things that could be annoying. So my point is, I am very accepting of crazy, okay? Like, I am accepting of crazy, I've done crazy things, I've done stupid things, I have friends who do crazy things. However, I need my fucking sleep. Alright? I need to be able to sleep to recharge my brain. I cannot sit there and function the next day if I don't get sleep, because I'm not 20 years old, you know?
I think more what it is, I'm assuming everybody in this party was either over 30 or close to being 30, right?
Over 30 everybody. And in relationships.
Todd was the oldest one.
So I'm thinking you probably have the same type of mindset that I have when I look at people who behave like their early 20s when they're in their close to or late, you know, early 30s. It's like, it's more like you get agitated at like, dude, just grow up. Like, you're supposed to be mature at this point.
Right.
And for someone to do completely immature things like he did and then not even own it the next day. Because I'll tell you right now, if I had done any of that stuff, and I've done some stupid stuff around you guys as far as getting fucked the next morning, you know, me, sorry guys, that was bullshit. Sorry for diving into the pool and crashing my face into the, you know.
But you wouldn't defend it. You wouldn't go.
I wouldn't defend it. I would sit there and take you guys, you know, trashing me like I deserve.
And then move on.
Because that's what I deserve.
But
when someone doesn't have that mentality, it gets frustrating.
Exactly. You just want to be like, can we just admit that that was bullshit so we can move on?
And I was just, you know, and to the point, a couple of people got saying, calm down, bro. I'm like, don't tell me to calm down. Tell him not to do things that make me angry. Because, I mean, honestly, I don't really care all the history that people have. And I do understand this history and understand that it's different. But I don't have this history with this person. I just realized that this is somebody who's way too old and should know better. By the way, guy has three kids. So it's not like this is someone who's – yes. So my point is, it's not somebody who shouldn't have responsibility.
It was just one of those things where we are to a point now where more often than not, we choose the adult path over the young path, where it's like, I want my conveniences. I'll spend the extra money. I'll do the extra time to feel comfortable. But this is one of those things where it was like so last minute and unplanned. We're like, oh, we'll just crash and it'll be easier that way if we're all together. And then we'll just.
Right.
We hadn't done that in so long that you forget that it's also inconvenient. And so like when you're in it, you're like, oh, that's why I don't do this anymore. Why would I do this? And then you're sitting there and like day
three. This is why you don't share hotel rooms with people.
Looking back. Looking back, we were stupid. We should have done the same thing we did for Branson. It's just rent a house, you know, where.
Rent a house.
Then
right.
If you want to bring somebody back, it's fine because everyone's in their own room and you can do what the fuck
separate
you want.
Rooms.
Exactly. Right. You do whatever the fuck you want. But, you know, again, you should know better.
Or you could wake up in the middle of the night and hear your bunk mates banging.
Mitch.
Like Sherry. Me.
But
I take it you wake up, managed to enjoy the concert at least.
I didn't, but Kelsey did.
We absolutely enjoyed.
Oh, that's nice.
The concert. All the bands rocked it. I would say, like, I never in my wildest dreams imagined I'd be seeing The Offspring, let alone seeing them play Pretty Fly for a White Guy.
I also had a realization when I saw The Offspring play. Offspring is the reason we have Guy Fieri.
You think so?
Yeah. They started that hairstyle. They started that whole trend, that whole look. That was them, dude.
That
was early punk rock, too. I mean, a lot of people don't remember before they became huge on the radio. Like, you know, they were a straight-up punk rock band. I remember seeing them at Warped Tour.
Right.
And thinking, like, oh, he's still rocking the hairdo. Okay. That was years ago.
Right.
And they're still doing it, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were really good. I would say that out of all the bands we saw, my Soundgarden was the best.
Basically,
the way the setup was, they had two stages. So there was no waiting in between bands. It was like they would set up one stage while one band played and vice versa. So there was always music going.
Hold on. Was it the original Soundgarden?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like not just the lead singer and a bunch of
all
other
of them.
Guys. And
the original Soundgarden, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they
That's a Coletta wet dream right there.
So we watch
Soundgarden. I like listening to Wind Chimes also.
She does. So the Sounds of a Garden. I get it, Cherry. Jesus. I got it. So anyway, I was... we were watching the concert and the
44 minutes and that's her contribution.
Oh, I love it.
She's pretty terrible.
Yeah, she'll go to sleep in 15 minutes and we're like, oh, okay, well, Sherry's on the show now.
the two headliners on Sunday, the big day was Perfect Circle, then followed by Soundgarden. Perfect. Now, the way it was set up was, like I said, they had two stages and they had a bunch of TVs. It was pretty cool. So you could, like, even if you were kind of back in the shaded area, you could see all the bands on the TVs, you know, like the big screens.
Mm-hmm.
When Perfect Circle played, because Maynard, if you don't know who he is.
Don't tell me he did this.
The lead singer of Tool and the lead singer of Perfect Circle. And I want to be clear on something. I like Perfect Circle's music. I like Tool's music. I think they're good bands. Their music is cool, and I rock out to them. I had never seen Tool, and I had never seen Perfect Circle live. However, Maynard decided, because he's a pretentious prick. He decided not only was he going to do his typical thing where he hides in the darkness, like in the back of the stage, so you can't see him when he sings. But he asked for all the screens to be off. So
what?
At nighttime, it was at nighttime. So unless you were standing within the first like 20 rows, you couldn't even see him. Like it was just, you could kind of see the drummer because he wanted all the screens off.
Right.
So
it was just smoke and lights.
All the people that wanted to go there to see somebody like him. And by the way, I like the music, but I lost
the whole show.
I lost a lot of respect for him because I really do like the music. I think it's cool, but it's like, my theory, and I have people that are fans of it, and I'm sure people will agree with me that are Maynard super fans. But again, I might have been tainted because I saw his like 2-hour interview on Rogan too. The guy's just a weird dude, you know?
Yeah, I've seen Perfect Circle live as well, and they were playing at like the concert venue here in the Springs. Mm-hmm. And at the time, this is years ago, at the time there was a rock station here in town that was big in the ratings, and they had one of their DJs come out. And he started like doing this like crowd chant thing, like the left side say May, the right side say Nerd. He was like doing this whole thing. And one of my friends who was working at the venue in the back said that like Maynard was refusing to go out for at least a half hour. So the stench of that radio DJ wasn't over the crowd by the time he came out. So he delayed the show by a half hour.
And see, that's my point. Like, he has this arrogance to him, and he talks shit. He talks shitty about his fans too. Like, he has this air of like arrogance about him, where he's just like the dude, the man. And he
views himself as an artist.
But fine, you know what? You know what? Who else was an artist? Shakespeare. But he still came out and bowed after a show. And
right.
And it's like, you know, when you were watching it, like I was really mad. Like I got angry. Like I was like, this is fucking bullshit. Because I'm not even a super fan of Perfect Circle, but I do like a lot of their music and of Tool as well. But it was like this trying to be different just to be different. Like, you know, like
just because he can.
Right. It's like, I'm going to hide
because
up here.
He's Maynard James.
And then
Dean.
In between every song, he'd be like, fuck balls, or just like say some weird words in between them. Because
every song. We're like,
bro. We're like, it's like, just, I'm different.
Did he just say fuck balls?
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, man, it's just, and everything was just so fucking like, ugh. Like, dude.
You know what? The last time I saw Tool years ago.
Yeah.
Were you playing something?
No. I was scrolling through pictures, and one of them was
a
video.
Yeah, we're scrolling through Facebook.
Oh, okay.
No, I was adding
I saw
photos
Tool
in
years
the chat.
Ago at an amphitheater, and so they went through their whole set, and they actually played a lot of their older stuff, and I had seen them a couple times before that when I was a lot younger, and they never played like the hits, like Sober or anything like that. And the last time I saw them, they played like a lot of their older stuff, which people were like, oh, my God, I've never seen them play this live or whatever. They finish their set, and you know, like right before the encore, usually the band walks backstage. Instead of doing that, they bring up all the stage lights, and the band just kind of hangs out on stage, drinking water, talking to themselves, like basically doing what a band does in the backstage, but they did it straight in the center of the stage.
Huh?
It was weird. Like they're just sitting there milling around, and everybody's sitting there going, yeah. All the lights are on, but you guys haven't left the stage yet, so what do we do? And then after like 5 minutes of just them talking with each other, just milling around the stage, they go back to their instruments and then play the encore song. It was very strange.
Yeah.
So they didn't leave and then come back for the encore. They just
right.
stayed
they
there.
Stayed on stage and did what they would have done backstage, but on stage.
And again, weird. They played good. And also they played this weird cover of Three Libras that was different than the original one, and I didn't like it. But besides that, the rest of the music sounded good. I can't say they didn't sound good. They did. As a matter of fact, the drummer apparently is a guy that writes all the music for Perfect Circle. And after the concert, he went out because he center stage and like, you know, got on his knees and like bowed to the crowd and thanked them. And it's just Maynard is just like weird, like I'm an artist and I'm so different and I'm just not going to be categorized, man, even though I have a $3 million house in the Beverly Hills.
Like he's like Todd.
He also owns like three well-respected brands of wine.
He does.
Like he created. Yeah.
He's really into wine. He absolutely is. He talks about it. And again, mm-hmm. It's fine. I guess my thing is, look, you're an artist. You could do whatever the fuck you want. I agree with that. I also can criticize you for being a fucking idiot. And I think what right. bothers me is like, man, you have people that really love your music, you know, and this is the perfect example. The person who said it the best was Ramp Cat. He goes, man, even Jack White, who is the most reclusive person on the planet, who never talks to the press, who made up – people didn't know if he was married to his sister or that was his sister, what it was. Jack White is the most reclusive fucking musician on the planet. When he plays – his screens are on and he's out front and he fucking rocks. You know, he's like, I'm here. And he's even said it. I'm here for you guys. And that's what bothers me. It's like when he thinks his music is, cause the only people that would hide in the back like that or not turn the screen as they think that they're changing the world. Cause I can think of any other reason why you would deprive your fans, the fans who made you rich, the fans who gave you a $3 million house in Beverly Hills and a how many acre vineyard in fucking Arizona. You could at least go out there and play. You know
I think
I mean?
The only defense that he would probably come up to with to your very good argument, because I agree with you 100%, is that it's about the music. It's not about, it's not about me. It's not
You're
about
right.
looking at us individually. You're supposed to listen to the sound, man.
You're right.
And I'm assuming...
You're
That's
right.
probably his mindset behind
you're
it.
You're right. You're right. It's about the music. It's about this and that. But you know what? It's also about the artistry. It's also when you go watch a band perform live, you're going to see them perform live. If we get it's just about the music, but that's like going to a concert and them just
playing
Spotify, all their songs on Spotify. You're like, but I came to see the band.
I'll tell you a complete opposite of that. But a band from the same genre and era and time frame as that, Nine Inch Nails had to be one of the best live shows I've ever seen in my entire life. In fact, I think it is the best live show I've ever seen. They had like the whole first song. They had this big shroud up, and they had these backlights, and so all you saw were silhouettes. And then they drop it and they go straight into March of Pigs. And they played every song you ever knew. And by the end of it, they destroyed every instrument they had. They were playing Head Like a Hole as their ender. They smashed every single guitar, all the keyboards, the drum set, the bass. And I'm like, do they do this every night or is Denver just that good of a show? And apparently I found out That's my point, is that, like, they say it doesn't happen every night, but it happens often.
Here's another one.
Just Trent and the rest of the guys, they just get really into it, and just the performing, and they get a charge off the crowd. Yeah. They always are saying thank you, and complete polar opposite of what you're talking about.
But Ball says, in regards to Maynard, like Dutch is saying, that's his philosophy. I think he hates fame. The point of, like, he hates fame, then don't perform anymore. Like, that's fine. Then stop being famous.
Pretty simple solution.
Bill, though.
That's exactly my point. That's my point. It's like, then if it pays the bills, give it your all. It's like, if your job pays the bills, if you don't do your job right, you're eventually going to get fired. And the problem is...
Yeah, but here's the thing. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, the problem is, this is coming from me, from somebody who liked the music. And look, man, there's been bands that I've been okay with the music, but after seeing them live, I'm like, wow, I fucking love them now. Like, I've had the opposite effect with bands. This was the opposite of that. This was, I really liked their music, and when I saw them live, I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Why are you being so protective? Like, my thought process is, you're not good enough to do this. You know what I mean? Like, you're not big enough to be doing this. You're not that creative. I mean, yes, Perfect Circle is good, but it's 90s rock, you know?
Now, how was Def Leppard? Because I've seen them live, and it was awesome.
I'd love to tell you how Def Leppard was, but Daddy had a massive panic attack Saturday.
Oh, no!
Daddy had a massive panic attack Saturday night and had to leave. Because
that's terrible.
Daddy
I'm
didn't
sorry.
Get enough sleep Friday night. I don't remember why now. And because of
Daddy
that...
Daddy missed a very good show, a very loud
that's
show.
That's what I heard. I heard they were amazing, because everyone else stayed and watched it. They were really, really good.
Mommy, did you see it?
Well, I witnessed about a song and a half, but I had to take him home.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you just were like, okay, baby, you're fine. I want to watch Def Leppard.
No, I would never let Royce go home by himself with a panic attack.
Mommy's got to see Def Leppard.
Are you kidding me?
Anyway, Marie's band that she wanted to see was Soundgarden, which came after Perfect Circle, and the Soundgarden fucking rocked. Like, that. I think that's what made my anger, because maybe I wasn't even that mad at Perfect Circle until after I saw Soundgarden, and then I go, wow, if anyone could hide, is Chris Cornell, because the guy's been since 1985, like, fucking rocking out, and how many different, like, fucking two bands that he's gone platinum with. Like, and that guy goes out there and he gives not one political statement, just went out there and fucking rocked it. Like, they played all their hits and they fucking killed it.
Nice.
They played all their hits.
They made my life. They made my night.
Yeah.
They made me wet.
Oh, yeah. But I think I think Marie got pregnant after that concert.
I think he made every woman in that audience pregnant that night. All of
that dick.
All of us were just looking from side to side like, you're feeling this too, right? Like, he did this one thing.
Dude, he's a vampire.
Dude, he did this one thing where, like, he just kind of sat on the corner of a giant PA system where his legs are spread out on either corner, and he was just doing this kind of, like, love ballad type song.
He'd be like, hey.
That's not how he was.
That's pretty much how she was sounding.
Yes.
And so the thing is, like,
was that you?
So
yes, that was me. I actually think I made some of those sounds.
The funny part is, like, you know, you were saying, because he was with the original Soundgarden lineup, and those guys have aged like normal human beings, so they make him even look weirder, because Chris Cornell hasn't aged. Like, he looks...
Said vampire, and I knew that where you're going with that.
Dude,
yeah,
it's. I mean,
how is that possible?
I've seen him on TV, but in person, you're like, because you know, in person, you really can't hide all. Like, I was like, holy fuck, the guy looks exactly. I mean, doesn't have a wrinkle, looks exactly the same. And apparently, according to Coletta, he just stopped smoking a couple of years ago, and his voice is still amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty perfect
to me. I was blown away. Soundgarden was one of those bands where I liked them. But after watching them live, I was like, holy fucking shit, they put on a good show.
Yeah.
Like, the first song was Spoon Man.
Yeah. You know, a show where it's like, this is how a show goes.
Yeah.
This is it. This is what I expect when I spend money at a festival.
Dude, he was fucking the speaker at one point, basically. Like, he was so good. No, he was. Like, he was on the ground. Like, there was a song where all the girls were just like, oh, you saw every girl in the audience was just like drooling and just wet and sopping because he was just making all these, like, guitar moves, and they're like, oh, my God, his voice.
Let me just say, guitars are not fair, because they're at penis level, and these men are diddling the friggin' strings at their penis level.
It really did turn you on. That's funny.
Not many people know that the reason Temple of the Dog came about was Chris Cornell was turning too many women on and they were passing out. So they had to get Eddie Vedder there to balance the ugly. And that kind of fixed it. You know what I mean? It was like, they're getting, and then it's like, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm better, I'm better, I'm better, I'm better. Where was
I? Drop them bushes up. I'm like a mop.
Just your Eddie Vedder was the pussy mop of fucking Temple of the Dog
to the spilled over 5 gallon bucket of Chris Cornell.
And you know what it is, like, you know who I blame, like, you know, for getting mad at people like Maynard and stuff like that, is then you have people like Dave Grohl. Like, even if you don't like the Foo Fighters, everything he does, it's in the news. You're like, wow, he's such a cool guy. He's always doing weird
things.
Probably
the greatest human being alive, even though I'm not a huge fan of his music. But
Even if you hate his music, he's always doing these weird, dumb things. You're like, okay, he's a funny guy. Like, he's self-aware, you know? He's like, this is just music, whatever, you know? Oh, yeah, look, there's an old picture.
He has a fun time in life.
He's winning. He's beating all of us. Middle school.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and man, you know Soundgarden's been around since 1985, dude. 1985?
That's when I was born.
85?
Yeah, I looked it up the other day.
Man. He's like 52.
He's 52
like
years
close
old.
Close to 30. It's 31 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
They're rock gods.
Yeah. I will.
Yeah.
I put him up there, man. 20 plus years. That, you know, 20 plus years. And it's kind of like one of those things with Chris Cornell. Like, you could tell he's talented. It's like, you know, LeBron James won a championship with Miami and with Cleveland. Like, Chris Cornell got platinum records with Soundgarden and with Audioslave. Like, he's one of those dudes who's just that good that he could bring up the rest of the band.
And he's done some solo work.
I don't know if it was just him with Audioslave.
Well,
I mean,
you're
right. He did have basically Rage Against
you're
the
right.
Machine as his band.
Didn't he also have like a very successful solo career as
well? Oh, yeah, yeah. He did. And he had a bunch. Yeah. That Billie Jean cover he did was really good, too. But, I mean, again, just blown away. Like, in terms of them putting on a show, like, man, they put on a good fucking show. That's probably the second best show I've seen.
What were some other bands that were there that you guys checked out?
Mastodon.
Oh, wow.
Mastodon.
Mastodon's awesome. Mastodon.
Did Smash Mouth just do like 45 minutes of like a blister
Smash
in the sun?
Smash Mouth wasn't there.
Smash Mouth was not there.
I thought you guys said Smash Mouth.
No,
Yeah, why would you pull up?
We said Offspring.
Mitch said Smash Mouth as a joke.
Oh.
In between when I said Seether and Papa Roach.
Yeah, Seether was there. They were pretty good.
You know what? Seether and Papa Roach, I had absolutely no expectations for, because why would I care? They were both pretty good.
Oh, no, Papa Roach,
so was
fuck
this
that.
Like an all-straight rock concert, or were there other types of acts
Fort
there?
Rock, bro. It was called Fort Rock.
All rock.
All
and
rock.
And by the way, something
EDM,
else, something you, something you realize about 90s music is some of the 90s bitches haven't aged well that were going to the concert. That's for goddamn sure. Oof. Ooh, nature has not been nice
but
to some groupies.
There was a lot of young people, too. It was a pretty attractive crowd overall. And I saw the best shirt I'd ever seen in my entire life. The whole crowd stopped and laughed at it immediately. I think it said, you can't be drinking all day if you don't start in the morning.
And that's a valid point.
And the guy wearing it looked like he started in the morning.
All right, Dutch, are we running the break or are you running the break?
It still is not. No.
All right, well, we'll go to break then.
Nothing works in this house. Tell me about it.
Is that a shot at me?
Probably.
Because for your information, I got a job.
Really? What kind of job?
Beads.
Bees?
Beads.
Beads? Job's not on board.
Beads are very big right now. Anklets, necklaces, you name it.
Bracelets.
But I'll need some startup money.
I'm in. But we're gonna need a lot. Beads aren't cheap. Are beads cheap?
Job, I'm not looking for a partner. And believe me, if I was, it would not be you.
Oh. Good. Well, I'll start my own business. How hard can it be? Bzzz. We'll see who brings in more honey.
Just thinking about bees again.
It's all good, baby.
Second hour, Dutch and Royce. Number to call in is 954-573-2780 or HippoJuiceFilm on Skype if you want to get in contact that way. Or go to morelikeradio.com/live to get in contact that away. Thank you for joining us. We know it's late. For those listening via podcast, thank you for taking us along on your commute, on your way to go visit your friend in prison, on your way to cheat on your wife. on your way to do any sort of illegal activity. We appreciate it. I'm just targeting our demographic, which I'm assuming is mostly lowlifes.
Right.
Like is us. Cheating considered illegal?
It's only in the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, right.
Right.
Cheating is kind of like diddling yourself. You're not supposed to, but you kind of want to.
I'll tell you what, my husband Harold cheated on me 17 times, and it was no big deal because we had that kind of relationship.
Oh, you're in an old open relationship there?
Yeah, that's right. Me and my husband Harold, what he does is he hires these big black bulls to come over, and he would just like have them penetrate me anally and orally. Now, keep in mind, this was the 70s, so it was a bit taboo back then. Not like the kids now that are having threesomes and doing horse tranquilizers.
Is that a thing to? I mean, I feel like if you have a threesome, then you would need
well,
to have
Harold
energy.
Passed away in 1990, God rest his soul, and it was during one of those orgies. What had happened was he was just having sex, and the horse that we hired just kicked him right in his head, and he died immediately on the spot.
You hired he was
having sex with a
horse?
He wasn't having sex with the horse. He was watching somebody have sex with the horse, and he started the horse from behind and kicked Harold right in the head.
That wasn't you having sex with
him. I was not at the time having sex with the horse.
But there's been other times.
Like I told the officer that showed up. At the time, I was cleaning up after some people.
Okay.
Why does this character sound like Harvey Firestein?
Actually, my name is Dolores. I'm actually 67 years young. I live in West Palm Beach, Florida.
Oh, okay.
Dolores likes to smoke a lot of cigarettes.
I actually smoke Marlboro Lights. I've been smoking them for about 10 years now, which I switched from Virginia Slims. Just they don't have as much tobacco as before. Thanks, that's what we get because we had a colored president.
Yeah, she's not really up with the times.
Is Dolores something that came about since I've been busy lately or just now?
Dolores is about a two-week-old character that Royce has been working and tweaking.
I tell you what, Buckaroo, Dolores has been around since the Korean War, so I'm not going to have you talking down to me.
Oh.
The weird thing
I don't care what gender you are, buddy. I'll just grab you by your dick.
I didn't know Mersh was on the show with us.
The weird thing is watching Royce develop his characters. Like, I thought Pastor Royce was a fluke where he goes into this trance and comes out with gold, but he does Dolores just as well as he does Pastor Royce. It's eerie how he can just go into a full backstory out of nowhere.
I honestly thought Mersh was on.
I don't know who this Royce character is, but I don't like him, not even a little bit, because he sounds Hispanic. And one time this Hispanic fellow helped me change my tires, but I'm 100% he stole the change in my purse because I had 75 cents and I counted it early with 73 later when I got home.
I'm pretty sure the characters that Royce comes up with are people that have traumatically affected him as a child that he's focused on for too long. Like, you're too good at it.
Maybe I was that annoying Jewish lady that Royce always had to go to in sales calls when he did air conditioning. And they all sound like this, and they're all mildly racist, just even a little bit. And they always have a cigarette in their hands when they're talking to you.
I'm pretty sure that's
their husband always just died, and it was kind of their fault.
Kind of their fault. What does kind of their fault mean? Oh, because of the horse thing. Now I get it.
Oh my god.
Oh, I thought this isn't the right one.
What?
I was trying to pull up a Harvey Firestein thing to do some comparison.
It's pretty close to a Harvey Firestein.
You all will be dead without my David.
I just don't like you guys. You guys are assuming my gender. I'm a woman. If you have me, I'll fuck Dutch right now in front of everybody to show you.
No, I'm good.
I'll do it, Dutch. I'll grab you right by your delicious Dutch cock and I'll jerk it off violently.
I'm sure you will.
I was on Mrs. Doubtfire.
That's right. You know, there's a term for me. Like, I chase younger men now. When you're my age, you're a saber tooth because you're a little long in the tooth. And you're just chasing these men. Like, this is 19-year-old boy that I know just wants to have sex with me. He's my doorman. I mean, I wouldn't believe it. He's always opening the door for me. He wants some.
I don't think that's what that means, Dolores.
Gross.
What would you know? You're just a Hispanic idiot. You should be cleaning my house.
Oof. She is a little racist.
I can't do that too long. My throat hurts.
Yeah. Dolores only comes in and spurts.
That's a pretty long spurt.
Yeah. She's been fun. She's been entertaining me on her off time.
That's the reason why I don't do stone cold anymore, because it just hurts your throat after a while.
Yeah, after a while.
It's true.
He hurts everybody's throat.
Mitch and Sherry, is your house redecorated yet?
Still in process.
What level are we at? Is the drywall at least put in? Or
yeah,
what?
Yeah. Well, yeah, the drywall, 99% of the drywall is up. We were just waiting on a little bit of it because we had to get the tub plumbed because we're adding in a shower head into the tub upstairs. Okay. So Sherry's dad came over this weekend and put in the shower head stuff. So
currently there's no toilet up there for you to clog.
Oh.
Yeah, we
just
to
hold the poo in?
Darn.
I guess you could poo right in the hole.
I didn't technically clog the toilet, by the way. I just peed in it.
What did you clog?
I just peed in it, but I didn't realize it wasn't running water to it. I just, you
How
know,
thick
you know,
is your urine?
That's the point. Sitting there.
We were drinking a lot the night before, John.
Yeah, it's like syrup.
How do you?
I don't think urine curdles, dude.
How do you?
No, it just sits for a while.
How do you untechnically clog a toilet?
It was never clogged in the first place.
A 5-gallon pail of water.
Did you pee a lot?
It's just, you know, like how they have that, you know, the, what's that called, Mitch? Like,
diabetes?
Where it loops up.
Oh.
No, not that. Where you have, like, the water.
It's diabetes.
Where the water sits in the, like, when you flush it or whatever, and it, like, it goes through that loop-de-loop thing.
Oh, yeah, I think it's scientifically called the loop-de-loop.
Correct. Well, I don't know what it's called. Somebody help me out here. The water trap.
The sneaky snake?
Oh, the S-curve.
Whatever that thing is called.
I just said it.
I flushed the toilet, but nothing came out. So basically my piss was just sitting in their toilet for like a week without
Before
anything.
We went up there and noticed it.
Well, because we never go up there. So
exactly.
We,
so when they go up there, they're like, it? Oh my God, well, what is that? What are they drinking?
Dutch wanted to leave a present for you guys to remember him by.
He did leave a present.
To my defense, you guys didn't tell me, hey, by the way, that toilet doesn't work.
I think we did. But in both of our defenses, we were really drunk.
Both of you are.
In the bathroom's defense, your pee-pee smells nasty.
Especially if after a week, anybody's pissed would smell bad.
Yeah, most people smells bad.
Apparently, there was also a problem with the toilet anyway, so not enough water was going to it or something. So I guess my dad fixed that, too.
Yeah, this fucking homeowner guy before us just did the worst shit ever, like... He used the wrong kind of copper pipe for the plumbing, so it was, instead of being rigid pipe, it was like bendy pipe. And for whatever reason, when he was running it from the supply into the toilet, instead of just going drilling holes straight through the studs, he decided to bend it around stuff, and he kinked it in a couple different spots.
So he was cut corners McGillicuddy.
I know exactly what kind of pipe you're talking about, too. That's hilarious.
Yeah. And yeah, he cut so many corners. It's just a fucking, every time we do something, we find new stuff. And coincidentally, like, this is unrelated, but as you know, we got everything plumbed upstairs and I come downstairs to turn the water back on and Sherry's dad is upstairs. And I'm like, hey, Rick, come down here real quick. There's a leak. And he's like, well, how the hell did we get a leak? We haven't turned the water, like, nothing's coming out up here. I'm like, I know, I haven't even turned the fucking water on going upstairs yet. And I guess just the little bit of pulling on the pipes upstairs was enough to basically burst open the guy before us, his shoddy soldering. There was pipes are supposed to be like in line with each other, but right. One was off kilter by a whole bunch, and there was only like an eighth of a pipe sitting inside of the coupler, and terrible solder job. It was leak.
So it's going well.
Oh no!
Oh, it's going much better than it was before we got it. Yes.
At least you don't have a wedding coming up.
No,
that would be stressful. Right?
That would be. I would be stressed at that point.
I don't. I'm not a woman, so I'm not stressed at all.
Sherry looks stressed.
I'm not stressed. That's why we started doing this, because wedding planning was going slow, so I needed something to do.
Yeah, she needed something to do. So, hey, let's tear down the fucking house.
Yeah, the way, looks fabulous.
Mitch. Rip apart the living room. That was my favorite thing, by the way, when you guys told about. Just, I woke up and the entire living room, ceiling was torn down.
And Mitch, congratulations. Congratulations marrying a tornado. That's going to work out well for you. Because that's what you marry. I love you, Sherry. I really do. I love you very much. But you are a little tornado. So
I really am.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm a projectaholic. I like doing things. I can't sit still. I can't just sit and watch TV for an entire
Saturday. My God! Like,
I have to do something.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure we could have found other things to do at 8 in the morning.
I like
Nine
doing...
was good.
I like doing lots of things, too, but then Royce tells me to sit down and shut up. We're watching TV now.
I have to reel her in. I have to reel her in because she will work herself like fucking raw.
And I'm like, but I want to do five things first.
I'm like, you can't.
Do you want to learn how to do housework?
I can't wait to experience these things.
No. By the way, somebody made this joke, and they blacked out the name, but it was killing me before the show. It says, Radiohead makes music for people who have trouble asking for ketchup at McDonald's. Fucking killed me.
It killed me, too.
Oh, my God.
This is fucking funny.
I enjoyed it heavily.
And then McDonald's apparently came out with a new plasticware called a flork.
Well, that sounds stupid. Is that a fork just fell on the floor?
No,
it's a fork that's got like the prati things or French fries.
Yeah, it's fork, like fork. Like a fry and a fork.
Well, that's fork. Stupid. Then you only get 4 to 5 fries.
Three fries to be exact.
That's even stupider.
So you
wait,
use
this
fork to dip in ketchup?
Is this real?
Yes. I don't know if it wasn't on the onions.
I don't know what you would use it for because everything else that's on the menu is handheld. So I'm not sure what you would need.
McDonald's invents the fork, a fry fork hybrid utensil for fast food lovers.
And for people that were eating plasticware.
What? Oh, I get it. I see what it's for. Oh, it's so stupid. Oh, yeah, we deserve to die.
So do you put three French fries in it and then dip those three French fries in ketchup and then...
I'm Allie Rosen here with my panel, Marlene Cook, cookbook author and nutrition expert.
Shut the fuck up, bitch. All right, let's play this video.
McDonald's new signature crafted recipes. Sandwiches with the exquisite flavors of pico guacamole, maple bacon Dijon, or sweet barbecue bacon. But when savoring these recipes, there's a hitch you just can't ditch. The topping dropping. This is a real problem. Wait, sorry. Is this a real problem? Probably not. But good news. We solved it anyway with the flavor-focused, fundamentally superfluous frog. So you can pico all the pico guacamole, save your bacon with sweet maple seasoning, or get all the sweet onion BBQ for YOU. RSELF. The fork is ludicrously easy to use. Its ergonomic design makes it handy variety.
Okay, they're goofing on it.
It's a joke, yeah.
They are, but yeah. I bet you they have them.
Yeah, it's just basically like a goofy like add-on campaign to their new whatever burgers are.
Was it an April Fool's Day joke?
Nope.
It was just a normal
joke? I think it's just a stupid advertising stunt, and it'll go away in about a month or two.
Yeah, that's Maul is right. That's the infomercial dude. That's the dude who took over for Billy Mays after he died.
Allegedly, right, I was going to say, I recognize that guy.
Yeah.
Took his success.
They used to do the reality show together, where they would have people come on and pitch their ideas. Pitchmen, I think it was called.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah. What other things did he pitch?
Everything that Billy made. OxyClean. OxyClean. That dude, the OxyClean stuff. And
did he pitch OxyClean?
No.
Hmm. What he should have been pitching was head protectors.
Or a tent.
Yeah. Oh, I get it.
Because penis.
No.
He
died from hitting his head.
Billy Mays?
No.
I thought he had a heart attack.
No, he hit his head.
No. He hit his head in a plane thing, and he had like some sort of like an aneurysm the next day. Oh.
Yeah, the overhead bin like fell on his head or something.
Yeah, but did he get the blood stains out of his shirt with OxyClean?
That is a very good question. I think you might have actually asked that exact same question the day he died.
I think he should have
a couple years ago.
he should have cauterized his wounds with Mighty Putty.
Woman arrested after allegedly offering sexual favors for chicken McNuggets at McDonald's.
Oh my God.
A Florida woman is facing prostitution after allegedly offering to have sex with an undercover law enforcement officer. This is what happens when you Google McDonald's for news. A Florida woman is facing prostitution. You gotta love it. That's
only in Florida.
A Florida woman is facing prostitution. No, not today. Stop it. That's tomorrow.
Cool story,
not happening. Stop it. You can stop.
And you just punched me in the face.
You got knocked
and I'm going to punch
out,
you
again. I punched her in the face because she was a pussy.
No, God!
That was the reaction.
Talk like a fag, and your shit's all retarded.
That was the reaction of a Vietnam War vet flashback. You heard that song for a
and
second.
And he couldn't stop himself.
And you were like, no, the memories!
I haven't done it in a while because every time I've been super busy in the last like month or two and I haven't been on the show. I don't think I've done the Florida bit thing in a while. So,
yeah, Marie was real. She goes, I mean, I realized how many drops Dutch played in the Florida thing until he wasn't here because all she heard was my half of the bit of the drops.
Oh, right. Yeah, you hitting your buttons.
A Florida undercover officer said De Niro was coming home, was coming out of a gas station in Bradenton, Florida.
Wait, was the undercover officer soliciting a McDonald's for drugs or for women who were hopefully going to have sex with him in exchange for nuggets?
A Florida woman is facing prostitution charges after allegedly offering to have sex with an undercover law enforcement officer for $25 and some chicken McNuggets.
Oh, well, at least $25.
That's a little bit of money.
Okay. It wasn't like, hey, I'll blow you for six McNuggets. She at least asked for $25.
Alex DeReno was arrested April 25th in Manatee County.
She looks good, by the way.
No, she doesn't.
Ugh, she looks like a manatee.
No, she doesn't look good.
She looks like a lady that takes her McNuggets seriously.
Yeah, she looks like someone.
She looks like a juggalo without the face paint.
She looks like a juggalo who needs face paint.
She looks like someone that would get really mad if she got honey mustard instead of sweet and sour sauce.
She looks like the proact. She looked at the before in a proactive commercial.
She's the person that she's the people in Breaking Bad they didn't show.
She looks like a girl I used to date.
Right, yeah. Now there's a register at Walmart that needs a cashier.
You know what? You're right. You're right, Mitch. He should be hanging out with fucking Jesse in the meth palace.
Not with Jesse, with his friend.
With his friend, with Badger.
Yeah.
You're right. She wouldn't even be the friend of a main character. She'd be like Badger's girlfriend. Hey, I'm Melanie. The deputy said DeReno negotiated sexual favors for $25 in chicken McNuggets. DeReno was arrested by Manatee County Special Investigation Division, who happened to be a manatee. Authorities said they found two hypodermic needles, several small plastic bags, a spoon, a burned glass pipe, and a fork. She faces charges of prostitution and possession of drug paraphernalia. Wow, that's what I get for Googling McDonald's. That's my fault.
Royce, so you reminded me of something that came up this weekend. It might be a super old story, but I hadn't heard about it. Where you were talking about people are actually selling McDonald's Szechuan sauce.
You saw
on
the
eBay.
Episode yesterday, finally, right?
Yeah,
so you get the reference.
I get the Rick and Morty reference now of him being a time traveler and wanting the Szechuan sauce from when the Mulan movie.
Hold
came
on,
out.
Ma says she should be crushing her husband's head under an ATM machine. That's another good one.
Fantastic.
Okay, but yeah, the episode of Rick and Morty where they talk about, and it was for real. In 1998, McDonald's had Szechuan dipping sauce, teriyaki dipping sauce. That in relation with the Mulan movie, and Rick and Morty made this whole bit and joke about
that
it.
That was in 98? Wow. Yeah.
Made a joke about it in the recent episode, and somebody sold it for how much?
Well, the eaters.
$88,000.
$44 bids.
I don't know if that's exactly what happened.
No, that's what happened.
Well, because I don't know if that's what the end of, because I've seen other pricing of $1,000, $14,000. I'm not sure how many McNuggets Szechuan dipping sauces there were out there on eBay. So maybe some of them were sold at different
prices.
But
there's no way they're still good.
Right. Because an Eater article says that someone placed an eBay bid for $14,700 for a pair of 19-year-old McDonald's Szechuan sauces.
Jesus Christ, can you imagine?
Can't someone just make a forgery?
Well, here's the thing. They're not buying that to eat it. It's people who collect weird shit like that. Like, yeah. You know, anything novelty from a restaurant chain or anything like that.
Like, yeah. Like crystal clear Pepsi?
Yeah, no, right. there's that kind of shit. There's people that collect some weird fucking shit, dude. Like, I mean, any, you name it, they'll collect it. Like, there's virgins all over the country, you know?
Right.
Oh, it looks like one is on eBay right now that's going for $1,000.
That's not bad if you want to get it on that action.
Oh, it's sold.
Oh, it's sold. It sucks.
Well, what was it? Last week, because I work at a comic book shop, we get blind boxes.
Whoa, they blind you?
They had like these mystery figures in them, and we got Bob's Burger ones in, and I pulled the rarest figure that you could possibly pull out of it, and I sold it on eBay for $100.
How rare could it be? That show has only been around for like, what, 6 years?
This particular item is one out of 80 boxes you might have a chance of pulling it, and I pulled it.
Well, what are they, though? What kind of toys are they?
It's from Bob's Burgers, so it's all like the figures. Like a lot of it was like their characters and personas, but this particular one is Louise's nightlight, a Coochie Kobe, and I pulled him.
So, you know, something happened.
Does anybody on the show collect anything?
No.
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 The only thing I do is, well, not, it's not really a collection, but I save every ticket stub for every concert I've ever been to. That's the only thing I have. Is that weird?
No. I know a few people that do that.
I think I have ticket stubs for concerts, but I don't necessarily collect them.
Can you sell a ticket stub for $100?
I always make sure I put it in my wallet, and then I have like a little white box that I would just throw it into when I, you know, when my wallet gets too full, I'm like, okay, I need to take this out. But I just realized I haven't been, oh. Apparently, I have no viruses.
Good job.
But just, you know, like, it's just kind of cool to, like, pull down and be like, oh, yeah, I remember that concert. For whatever reason, like, just looking at the ticket, I remember the concert after looking at it.
I collect porcelain dolls. I've been doing it for many years. Oh. They literally look like little angels, little baby doll angels, and they're just so beautiful. They bring me just love and joy.
Oh, you mean Precious Moments?
No. I buy the knockoffs. They're called Special Interest, and they're just so lovely. The dollar store has them.
Special Interest?
Yeah, they're made out of the Chinese plastic that it's made out of lead, you know, so they're a little cheaper, but they're just as cute.
Hmm.
It's not cute at all.
I think Dolores is my grandma.
Touch them with your hands.
Dolores is your grandma?
I think so, because my grandma collected dolls, and like she had like thousands of dolls. Like,
what, was there a specific brand that she went for?
No, she would just go out and find. I don't know, because like, you know, she got put in assisted living, so it was all dumped on my dad to get rid of her fucking thousands of dolls.
So it was just any kind of doll, she just grabbed
it. Just weird, like the old creepy looking dolls, and right. Just weird, like kitschy little dolls, like just weird shit. So I think he just found someone to take all of them for like a couple $1,000 or something.
Yeah, my
mother, I'm sure there was some worth money in there, but nobody wanted to deal with it.
My mother collected Precious Moments dolls for a long time. And then when she moved, by the way, my mom lives like a 2 minutes from my house now. So I know I'm going to have to go there and mow her lawn and shit like that. 30 and I have to do that. Anyways. Yeah. So when she moved, she got rid of all of it. Like my mom like dumped everything. So she like one day showed up at my house. She's like, so I have things that I've saved from, you know, the things from your past that I've saved for me. Here you are. I'm like, what do you want me to do with like my favorite shirt when I was 4? Like she had all this stuff that I'm like,
well, or papers that you wrote in elementary school.
Yeah, or like I made her a cup, like a mug, like, you know, when I was in, you know, kindergarten, that said I love mommy, you know, that kind of stuff. I'm like, no, mom, you're supposed to keep this. Like, it's not, you're not supposed to hold on to it for me later. And she gave me like all this memory stuff that she was giving, but apparently, yeah, she had like saved little memory stuff from like all of my siblings, but there's 23 of us. So she was like, I don't need this shit. She just completely unloaded and just gave everybody her memories. So
I always wonder what parents do with that shit.
Yeah, they give them back to you when they move.
I hope not. Maybe you, but I don't want that to happen to me.
Do you think your mom has a lot of your stuff?
Oh, what happened to you, Mitch? Sorry.
Yeah. Sherry, what did my mom give you?
A talking to.
That's a very vague question.
No, she gave you like a, didn't I write some kind of paper or some shit?
Oh my God, let me go get it. It's so cute.
Oh, I'm excited.
Sherry already thinks it's cute.
Sherry, does your shirt say wifey?
She's wearing a wifey shirt.
Oh my God, Dutch and I noticed the same thing.
Same time.
It does. Yeah, she got that at the last bridal shower that she went to. I think it was...
It's like a Dirty Dancing shirt, too. It's like off the shoulder.
It's really... It's too big in the neck, so it goes down her shoulder a little bit, and it shows off her upper tit.
I have the same one. It says Widow on it. I work out in it.
Jesus.
I work out in it. It's wonderful. And also, I forgot to mention I collect Beanie Babies. I spent $10,000 on them, but I just sold them for $10 on eBay, so it's looking up.
So backstory, my parents were up, we were hanging sheetrock and stuff, and Sherry was going with my mom and my future sister-in-law to go dress shopping for my future sister-in-law for the wedding. So my mom found some kind of letter that I wrote, I'm assuming based off of his handwriting, it could be
a year ago,
third grade, or it could have been a year ago, I'm not sure. But
the essay was, explain why or why not you would get married.
Oh, God.
Oh, this is actually adorable.
Hold on.
That's why my mom brought it up.
I got to sit up. I'm sitting up. I'm sitting. How old again were you?
So probably third grade or fourth grade or something. So like, what, 8 or 9?
Perfect.
Okay.
Since I have to explain why or... why not? I would get married. I would say I.
Okay, Paul.
Dick, when I was
the fact that you you were an asshole back then.
You've always been this guy.
So, you know, they're making me write this, so here we go.
I swear to God, I've started off college essays like that too.
That is so you.
Wow.
Okay.
I would say I would not get married. And I would like to point out that I would not get married is written with a much heavier hand, so it's much darker and bolder.
I bolded it with my pencil.
You're insane.
It's hilarious.
Go on.
I don't want my brides nagging me to want to go fishing. Or no, kids. I'm sorry. It kind of looked like brides. I don't want my kids nagging me to go fishing because I don't want to take them fishing. Or I don't want to take them to go fishing with me. They will be too loud, only want to go out for a short period of time, and I would tell them no. And they would start crying and scare all the fish away. So I'd have to take them back and waste precious fishing time.
Oh, my God. What was your obsession with fishing, you fucking maniac?
I still have the same obsession. I don't want to take a fishing
They would get cold and have to use my jacket, so I would get cold.
Okay, did you have an experience with your father where he was frustrated that he had to take you fishing?
Probably.
Or okay,
I was going to say, at that young age, third grade age, writing that kind of stuff, either you were just a miserable fuck back then like you are now.
Dutch, you got it wrong. Yeah. What happened was that Mitch probably had to go on a fishing trip with a friend of a similar age, and that friend was not up to snuff with how Mitch was able to fish with his father, and he was frustrated that the friend was slowing him down on the fishing game.
Here's what I think happened is I probably realized that this shit that I'm writing about is things that I did to my dad, and I'm like, oh, I don't want that to happen to me.
And I like how it's about, like, you jump in, I don't want to get married because these kids are awful.
Well, it's the same thing at that age.
Having kids and being married are the same thing.
Anyways, they would get cold and have to use my jacket, so I would get cold. They would complain about the mosquitoes and all the bugs that are biting them, and they would be afraid of the dark and hear all the other animals and things that come out at night. So I couldn't take them out fishing at night. And that would be precious fishing time.
This would have to be, first of all, as a 9-year-old, you know the phrase precious fishing time. This had to be you.
I'm a smart boy.
This had to be you projecting. You probably recognized that you annoyed your dad on a fishing trip.
That's what I'm saying. I probably
didn't want to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to point out that I'm going to frame it and hang it next to one of our wedding photos.
Please do. Actually, have it on the table Have it on the table, like, at your wedding, where they, sign the book thing and have
that. I thought about that also.
Wait,
I will do that.
No, Sherry, what you do is you get one of those giant frames that have a lot of white space for a middle border.
Caucasian space.
And let us all sign it at the wedding. Happy wedding. And then just frame this letter saying, I'm not going to get married, with all of us signing it saying, congratulations. That's what you do.
I had to actually write a similar one, a thing about getting married, but I had to do it a couple of years ago, and it goes, please someone help me. I don't want to be married to this bitch. And that's the end of mine. It had nothing to do with fishing.
Well, yours was boring then.
Yeah, I know. Somebody help me. Cry for help.
You know, not, you just reminded me. My my mother would make us do this newsletter.
Your family was so big it had a newsletter.
Yeah. That's my point, is that, like, you know, my dad was one of 16. I'm one of 23.
Oh my God.
We had a
Jesus
newsletter
Christ.
That we would do, like, bi-yearly, huh?
The Van Wingerden newsletter.
I don't know. The more I think about it, I think my mom was just, like, way too involved and, like, wanted everybody to know. This is obviously before internet or anything like that. So what she would do is she would have this whole, like, she would make all of us write, like, an article about something that interests us. And I remember, like, when my mom was unloading everything, she was, like, just – I remember, like, seeing one of the printed out newsletters, and, like, one of the articles was, like, me talking about playing Little League baseball. So I'll see if I can't find that and bring it in. She had multiple. What was that?
What were your mom and dad's articles about?
My dad really didn't give a shit, but my mom, like, was just, you know, it was all, like, family updates, what we're doing in Haiti, and here's the newest kid we adopted, here's his face, you know, because we adopted a lot back then, and just all this. The updates of the family, like, because there was no Facebook.
Please tell me there was, like, one black sheep in the family that their updates were, like, that they did Molly that weekend.
No, this is way before that. Aww. This is back when, like, we were super religious. So.
Aww, okay. No fun stories. No, like, bitter nihilists.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
This is back, like, when my two oldest siblings were, like, 16 and 15. Like,
No existential crises being released through the newsletter.
You know, it's funny.
Well, go ahead.
It's funny that you guys found all these letters and stuff and, like, Dutch your newsletter thing, because I'm thinking, like, now kids literally have social media, like, right away, so they could, like, go back and not only just not having to scrounge through one or two things that your mom saved, but you can remember every dumb thing you ever said. Like, we don't have that because we didn't really even get MySpace until, you know, later on. But I'm saying now kids that
didn't come out till I was in college.
Right. But think about this now. Now you have an entire generation of people going to college that have gone to college and that. They know every single word they said is posted up there. Every naked picture, everything in their life is up there. And
it's chronicled and it's easy to access.
Right. Like, it's completely different than before. Like, I'm thinking to myself, if some of the shit that I was thinking when I was 18, 19 years old was on the fucking internet, dude, I'd be in trouble, you know?
I get some of mine from, like, 8 years ago, and I'm like, oh my God, I was such an emo, whining little bitch. How was anybody friends with me?
Well, remember, like, when I was reading, like, my yearbook, you know, when people sign the insides of your yearbooks, and I was just reading those out loud, like, I don't know how, like, a half a year ago. Just you look at what everybody's perception of you was, and I kept getting called a black white kid. And I don't remember why. I don't know, because I don't think it was when I was going through my wigger phase. I think it was just because I had black siblings, so the joke was that I was black as well. And I, like, fought it. And the worst thing you can do when you're in middle school is fight something.
Right.
Because then they just keep going on with it.
What race-ass middle school did you go to?
A Christian one.
Oh, that's fair enough. I actually understand that.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
My yearbook is kind of sad because I don't know if you guys knew this, but I didn't have very many friends.
I didn't get a whole lot of phones.
I didn't have a whole lot of people signing my yearbook.
Oh, you don't have very many signatures?
No,
I didn't. That's embarrassing.
What's funny is, like, when you go look through the signatures, like, you could tell the ones who are just – because they're only signing it because you handed them the book. They'd be like, had a great year. Ashley.
No, not even that. Or they
sign their name.
Or they write. Or they
right,
write
just the name.
Or they even get his name wrong. Hey, Mike, had a great year.
Right.
It's like, what? Keep in touch, KIT. No one ever KIT, bro. No one ever KITs, bro.
Yeah. Well, I hope we talk this summer. We're not. I got that a lot in my yearbooks.
We're never talking this summer.
You never do.
I'm going to get high and just kind of play video games. So, you know, deal with it.
And if you did transfer to another school, I'll see you next year.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe not. I might forget you completely. Wow. There's so many people in high school that have just forgotten.
Yeah, but then Facebook came 12 years later, and everyone's like, oh, my God, remember so-and-so? Oh, my God, they have five friends that were also in high school.
But
your friends
it's so
with everyone then.
Much easier to cheat on your spouse now because of Facebook.
Do you think that they – I mean, I don't know. Do we still have – who was that young kid who was calling in for a while there during Hippo Juice?
What the fuck was his name?
He was the guy you talked to at your school.
Jared?
I want to ask him.
Jared?
Do they still have yearbooks?
Jared.
Yeah.
Jared.
He went
to J-Rod. Jared.
Yeah. Jared, do they still have yearbooks? Or do they just do everything online now?
Oh,
here's
I bet
our
you.
Here's online yearbook, which is also Facebook.
I bet you they still have them. A, because somebody has to learn how to make books for some reason. And B, they might sell it. Like, that might be a way for the school to raise funds or whatever, like stupid class
right.
rings. Class rings were
a
scam.
It was like $100 for, like, the yearbook or whatever it was they charged.
Yeah. Like, screw that shit.
Oh, by the way, really quick in the YouTube chat, there's a fan says, where the bitch is at? All right, this shit is corny, I'm out. And then he says, that shit was corny. Now, I just want to point out this gentleman is named Alex Skills, spelled with a Z. So...
Oh, I know Alex. We're good friends.
With a Z? You like him?
No. Yeah, I
he sounds
no
like he's a
about.
Winner at life.
No, he's... No hey, you know what, bro? Everything that ends what, with a Z bro? Is pretty good. All right?
What's
so
corny?
This Alex
yearbooks
guy?
Are corny? Or
is
we're
he looking
corny?
For boobies?
We're corny. I think we're corny. I think we're corny is what he was implying.
Oh.
Cream corny?
I believe...
Alex Skills. Mr. Skills, would you like to see boobies? Is that what you're here for?
I'm pretty sure that's what he was there for.
Mitch, show okay. the tits. Show him the tits.
There you go.
Yeah. Boobies.
Tits.
Nice. But no, I think I'm pretty sure they still have yearbooks.
Don't flash.
There's some shoulder.
Sherry, you're thinking about it. Don't do it.
Just your shoulder.
It was just my shoulder.
She was just showing shoulder.
Would you like to see my ankle?
Oh,
no,
not your ankle.
Know. Oh, you fucking piece of shit, hussy.
Well, great.
No.
Now we're.
No.
We saw her ankle.
Get kicked off of YouTube.
Now we're demonetized in Iraq.
Come on.
Thanks.
Come on.
Thanks a lot, Sherry.
You know better than that.
Thank you, Sherry.
That's basically porn in Iraq, Sherry, your ankle. Come on.
Now I'm going to have ankle dreams.
I'm sorry. I better put Mrs. Hyde to bed.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good idea. Put her back. She's adjusting a microphone with her nose. How drunk are you?
I'm not drunk. It's just what I do when the microphone gets in the way of my Pinteresting.
I just push with my head, yeah.
I do that too. Why raise your hands? That's work.
Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck.
Yeah, I push with my cheek or my nose.
You know what we should do? Since we're talking about, like, you know,
A yearbook? You know,
yearbooks or any of that kind of stuff. If somebody needs to find some sort of literature that you either wrote or were a part of from your youth, like mainly high school down.
Maybe I could find that. I might be able to get some of my hands on that.
See if you can look for it, and we'll have a like reminiscent day.
I feel like you've asked this before, and then we just didn't follow through.
I think it was the last time I brought out my yearbook. I feel like
I mean, I'm going down to my parents this weekend. I might be able to
find
stuff.
Something.
Yeah,
see what you can. I probably
three
have
new
a yearbook
memes
in
that
here.
I can tell you about.
You what now?
I did three new memes.
Oh, the HGTV memes.
Yep.
All right.
All right, go ahead. Let's hear them.
HGTV be like, I reshingled dollhouses and my wife puts on puppet shows for balloon animals. Our budget is $1.2 million.
Why would balloon animals?
First of all, it's HGTV couples be like.
That is true. It is couples. Well, you do puppet shows for balloon animals?
Yep.
What's the point?
What's
apparently
the
makes enough to have a
what's
what
the
was
next
the
one?
Punch it again.
I got another one. HGTV be like, I couple. Do imp- fuck you. I do improvised hip hop in the park on Wednesdays, and my wife resalts saltwater taffy. Our budget is $2.3 million.
Who's unsalting the saltwater taffy that it needs to be resalted?
Are you talking about someone chews the saltwater taffy and then she's reinserting salt back into it?
No, that's not how it works. Yep. No, that would do that.
Why would you stop chewing it?
It's so salty. It's too much salt.
Yeah, saltwater taffy is usually pretty sweet.
All right. What's
and the last one is HGTV be like
couples.
I am a POG historian, and my wife collects air in mason jars. Our budget is $1.4 million.
You killed me with the POG historian thing.
POG historian may be one of my favorite, like there's a museum with cases.
Does he have the little architect broom where he's...
This is a 1997 slammer. I found it in mint condition. It's shaped like a missile.
I just imagine them in the ground, and he's very carefully with a fine tooth brush brushing the dirt off the POG and then dusting it off and realizing it's a slammer. And he's like, this is a key.
And as we look over at this new piece that's encased in museum glass, this is one of the rarest scented slammers that still smells like chewing gum.
And by the way, for people that don't know, I want to point out, because there's a lot of young listeners, look up what POGs are. That's what we did before we had the internet.
POGs.
I remember playing that between soccer games.
POGs evolved into Pokemon. Yeah, you got to catch them all.
Yeah, I think you're right. And and Alex,
it was like a cross between the Pokemon thing and like gambling. Like it was like a card game for kids almost.
I mean, and did you ever play for keeps, Dutch? Like if you flip, that's, you know, with POGs.
Well, that was the whole point of the game. If you, however many you flipped over, that's the ones you got. But depending on which one of the, so basically, how did you guys play? Because the way we played was you had to, we would usually do like a stack of 10, and you would just basically sort through your POGs, because it would be, you know, a thing on one side and be blank on the other.
Right.
And so you basically would put those. So you put one down, I put one down, and we have like a stack of 5, stack of 10, depending on whatever you wanted to do. And then a person would take their, quote, slammer and hit the top of it. And then whatever one would, however many flipped over, the one on top would dictate whatever the rules were. So like if it was one with an 8 ball, that means that I got the entire pile if I happen to flip it over. But if they hit the 8 ball, then they had out. There was like a whole lot of different rules, but yeah, it's basically the rules is that you kind of like you had, it was like a deck game, and then you kind of like were gambling with just throwing on how many flip over depending what the house rules are. And
the only rule that we had, because for us, POG playing boards would always get destroyed. We always outlawed torpedoes because they were like, it was just like a pound of lead.
Metal weight that looked like an hourglass kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah, and those would like either A, destroy the board, or B, they would just flip everything over and they would just win everything. So we would always outlaw those.
Oh,
I'm trying to find mine, but I have my slammer around here somewhere.
Oh, I still have my tube because that has all my POGs and everything.
I don't have my POGs, but I do have my slammer because my parents were remodeling our house back when they were, you know, big, and I lost my slammer underneath like this part of a wall, whatever. And then my dad framed it in and sheetrocked over it. And I knew exactly where this thing was. And then
issues
like
with drywall,
it happens. And then like 2 years ago or something like that, or a year ago, my parents were remodeling the house and my dad sent me a picture of these big cabinets that were there that were out. I'm like, hey, look underneath this exact one, and you're going to find this little round thing about this big, and it's going to have a picture of a skull on it. I want that back. and he brought it back to me. I don't know where it is now. I lost it. But
somebody in the YouTube chat named Hack goes, yo, what up? Pony porn be good shit. Am I right, my nigga?
Oh, is that what's
That's
happening?
Right, Ian.
Like My Little Pony fan fiction?
I already said that my Harold died because of a horse, so I just wouldn't even get involved with any sort of equestrian porn anymore.
Okay.
I just won't do it.
Okay, Dolores.
I refuse.
You know, I honestly...
Fine, I'll fuck the horse.
I honestly thought that most of the, there were so many different Pog designs that I wouldn't look at a picture on Google of Pogs and recognize any of them. But I'm recognizing a lot of these Pogs. Like, I had a lot of these. Mm-hmm. And I don't even remember the rules. I don't think I played the game.
No, you broke the rules.
I think I just had them.
By the way, Maul posted one of OJ, an OJ Simpson slammer with him behind bars that says OJ in the slammer.
It's pretty good. It's a good one.
There were so many different renditions of that particular slammer. I've never seen this one. This one must be a rare one.
Do you think? Hold on. Right, let's do a quick. Let's play a quick game of eBay and see if Pogs are worth any money.
I was going to say, have they gone the way of Beanie Baby, where there's only a select few that are actually worth money?
You could buy 1,000 miscellaneous Pogs with 20 slammers for $30.
Wow.
So not valuable.
Not.
But are there any? See if you can't find, like, because there were certain Pogs that were like super rare.
Let's see. Okay, I'll do it by price. Highest first. Marilyn Monroe Pog set of 10, super rare, $1,200.
Jesus Christ.
Zero okay, bids, though. How many bids, though?
I'm going to post it in the chat for you. Here you go.
Seems a little outrageous.
There is from... There's... $61 for 24 months. I don't think any see
bids. But why are they valuable? When you can print any picture onto a piece of cardboard.
This auction is for the Pog set of 10 featuring Marilyn Monroe, super rare. Selling off my collection. This is a rare set. This came from a dealer out of California many years ago that was involved in the Pog craze and told me this may be the only set ever made of these, as the Pog craze was pretty well over.
I could just print these things onto a piece of circular cardboard. Like,
I can answer Marie's question with a logical answer as to how some of them can be rare.
Okay, go.
Certain tournaments, like even in like tabletop games, there's specific cards that are given to like judges and or contestants, and they're only given out to those that have been in the tournament.
But unless it's a signed Pog. The materials
doesn't
to
have
make
to be
it,
signed. It can just be like a specific, like we have magic cards at the comic book shop that are worth $200 just because they were from Magic the Gathering.
Marie, I know where you're going, and John, I know where you're going. Let me just stop you both and say, look, you can use your argument with the fact that you can take any of these rare baseball cards and have anybody print out the same thing. The people who know these things, as far as the rareness goes, they look at them and they can tell. So apparently somebody who can tell with these things deems it that valuable.
It's like forgeries.
I guess. I mean, I never understood.
Naked eye, we wouldn't know. But I mean,
there are way too many Pogs for sale on eBay. Way too many,
right now,
dude. It's a ridiculous amount of Pogs for sale.
A lot of Pogs.
Everyone's regretting having Pogs and trying to get rid of them. Yeah, I don't know. I remember
only being into it for like one summer.
Yeah, that was it. Very short lived.
I wonder if there's any commercials for Pogs.
They used to have conventions, like, on weekends in shopping malls. Like, I remember, like, the Sawgrass Mall, Royce, they had, vendors come and sell their Pogs.
I just remember acquiring most of my Pogs and other stupid shit during garage sales. Like, my neighborhood...
Does somebody want to see a Pog commercial from the 90s?
Yes.
Yes, More Than Breathing.
Oh my god, it was so 90s.
Well, that was very subliminal messaging.
I think I found a better version.
Oh wow, they're like the same type of...
Is that Surfing Bird?
Yes, it is.
Wow.
Interesting.
Wow.
That's an interesting marketing campaign to do that whole, you know, quick flash frame, you know, a new frame every quarter second, and then have the, yeah, weird.
That okay. That was, I think, the origin of subliminal messaging for children, where they, in between the flashes of different pogs, it just said, buy this now, try it, kids, tell your parents, get this.
This is everything, yeah.
Like, did you see all those words?
Wow.
But look, I got some cool pogs. Elf pogs. Remember Elf? He's back in pog form.
Exactly. Exactly.
Thank you, Mitch, for reminding me.
For anyone who remembers pogs.
Marie did it first.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Marie, for reminding me.
Yes.
I didn't hear that. I was busy. I probably had my headphones off looking for my slammer.
I where's the beef to you in the chat?
Yeah. Oh. Anywho. Pogs. Yeah, I don't know why they were valuable. I just acquired most of my stupid stuff at garage sales.
Eric Erock in the Facebook chat says, Magic, the card game is pretty insane. Gittles from his show has cards from the 90s, and his collection's worth several thousands of dollars. Yeah, I've read that there's like some Magic cards like to this day that are worth a ridiculous.
Well, here's the thing, is that card game still is correct. Being played to this day.
You're right.
Pogs died after like 3 years.
That's a good point. Magic is, I would say Magic is one of the nerd card games that stayed around the longest, right? Like,
it's been around since the 70s, I think, right? 70s?
Have any of you actually played?
Mitch, can you figure that out if I find that
I've never played it, but I've been aware of it since I was little.
Magic is about like 25 years old.
My oldest brother.
1993.
My oldest brother was
really?
Super into Magic, and I
You're
never understood it.
You're thinking of Dungeons & Dragons, Dutch.
Is that what I'm thinking of?
Yeah,
okay.
A complete set of Alpha Magic the Gathering highest graded PSA set 9.9 is on sale for an eBay for $1.7
million.
Million? Million, with an M.
Wow. How many bids, though?
It's signed by somebody, too.
How many bids?
Hold on.
Hold on a second.
I don't see any bids.
Well, Mitch needs to know how many worth bids, anything. Otherwise he's going to get very upset.
Well, no, I'm saying
there's a way to see how much.
I could list this fucking empty beer bottle on eBay for $1 million. It doesn't mean it's worth that.
It has five.
I think you should do that right now and see how many listeners will actually bid on it.
Royce, the crazy thing would be change your filter to what was sold, and you can see what they were at, what a lot of those Magic cards were actually, like the final sell bid was for.
You're right. It's a good call. Let me do that. I'll figure out how the fuck to do that. Ending soonest. How about that also?
The name Pog originates from POG, a brand of juice made from passion fruit, orange, and guava. The use of Pog bottle caps to play the game preceded the game's commercialization.
And it actually proceeded with a new version of Pog, which is Fat Ass White Girl, a very commonly searched thing on porn sites.
That's P-A-W-G.
Exactly. Fat with a P.
All right. One did sell for $27,000, full beta.
Holy
9.
Crap.
It wasn't one card, but it was like a full beta Power 9 set Black Lotus, blah, 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 sold for $27,000, excuse me. I've seen that the stuff that sold has been sold for like the highest stuff is like on average $2,000, $3,000, $9,000. So yeah, no, they still, you know, and actually there's some cards that are really rare because they're like, from what I've heard, I don't play Magic, but like they give you a certain advantage in the game, and some cards are banned and they're not allowed anymore. You know what I mean? Like I've heard that too. So
when I go into work tomorrow, I'll take a photo of somebody so you can see what they look like.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's crazy. And again, people are still really into that.
All right, let's get out of here.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Wait, are you playing or am I playing?
I got it. Sorry, my bad, dude. I thought your computer was still messed up, so I had it queued up already.
Oh, I had it, but whatever.
My bad. Oh, well, Dutch, how about this? Marie, why are you better?
Why did you say Dutch first?
I was saying, hey, Dutch, how about this? Marie, why are you better?
How about that?
You threw me off. I thought you were going to go to him. I'm not better because I was thrown off by your tricky line of questioning.
Thank you. Mitch, why are you better?
I am better than you because even at the ripe old age of 8, I was an asshole.
Sherry, are you there? And why are you better?
I am here for once, and I am better than you because I am taming the untamable fisherman.
John. He writes these down.
Fucking amazing.
I didn't, but I did think of it.
John, why are you better?
I'm better than you because HGTV be like, I'm a POG historian and my budget is $1.2
million. Touch, why you better?
I'm better than you because I think my co-host is a better Harvey Fierstein than Harvey Fierstein.
And
I'm better than you because now that I'm single, I'm getting all sorts of dick.
All right, guys, thanks for listening. Tomorrow, Hippo Juice, right, Dutch? It'll be fun. Are you going to be there?
I'm going to be there for the last half hour.
Yay! Last hour? Okay, cool. All right, guys, we will...
save the Florida stories till then, and then I can do the whole soundboard explosion.
We will. That will happen. Thank you guys for listening. Bye, everybody. Bye, YouTube. Bye, Facebook.
Rest in peace, Rorschach.
Rest in peace, Rorschach. We're out of here, guys.